The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, the blind man, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be quiet. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and called him. And so they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, he sprang up, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
So, how did you do with your homework during the week? Good? You remember what it was? Okay. Here is what your homework was. Maybe you can try it out again this week. Based on last week's story, the great story of James and John looking for positions in the kingdom on his left and his right, and not dealing with the real nature of the issue that they had on hand. Talked a lot about conditioning. We are all conditioned to respond, to act, to believe in specific ways. And my question was, at this particular point in my life, based on all of my education, my conditioning, my instruction, and my life experience, am I, at this particular point in my life, more likely to transform pain in my life or to transfer it? It's a very important question. Thought a lot about it during the week, and if you didn't have the opportunity to think about it, I invite you to think about it again. What am I most likely to do with all of my conditioning and practice and instruction? Am I more likely to transform pain in my life or transfer it or transmit it to others? It's an integral part of the gospel. It's based on a premise that there really are only two ways that we deal with pain in our lives. Either we will transform it and integrate it into the gospel experience, or we will more likely transfer it, transmit it to other people. They will become the object of our pain, our suffering. When somebody is really working on this in their lives, attempting to transform pain in their life experience or suffering, what happens is there's an awful lot of good work going on inside. You don't hear a great deal from them, but they are really interiorizing the importance of pain and suffering in their lives. Conversely, if somebody is transforming pain, you see the signs all of the time. They're very clear. Think about it yourself. First of all, for your own self, and then for those around you, family members, spouse, people in your church group, people in your workplace, those of your co-workers. Are you or are they more likely to transform pain in their lives or transmit it to others? It's a very challenging question. But we see the evidence all of the time. For somebody who is transforming, there's great interior work going on in their lives. For somebody who is transferring or transmitting pain, it's very obvious. The cues are very clear. There is always somebody else to blame. They complain a great deal about their circumstance in life. And there is always, you will hear it, somebody else to blame for my circumstances. It's based on that great premise. That premise that we will either do one or the other, transform it or transmit it or transfer it to others. Those who are not transforming, you will hear them say things like, well, if it weren't for him, if it weren't for her, if it weren't for them, if it weren't for that organization, even if it weren't for God, if God would have done something different and helped me out, then I would not be feeling this way. There are only two ways to deal with pain. And for us as Christians, it's an extremely important truth. Transforming it, if I don't transform it, I will most assuredly pass it on. It's just a basic behavioral understanding. Psychologists, psychiatrists, they write about it all the time. It is a fundamental truth. And usually those that I pass it on to are family, co-workers, church group, friends, and then anybody else outside of that. Sometimes people are held hostage by that. It's a good thing to share my pain and suffering. It's a good thing to share with family. It's a good thing to share in my small group. A lot of you do it in the small groups at the present time. It's good to share with my coworkers, but only good if I'm really seeking a resolution. If I'm seeking to go further into understanding and transforming that reality. Conversely, if all I am doing is looking for sympathy in my particular situation, don't anticipate any valuable results. Because simple truth would be, I'm at a kind of a standstill when I'm in that position. There's no real movement toward change. I had a man just say to me this week, when I saw my young son acting out my own angry behavior, I was absolutely shocked. He said, I knew I had transmitted it and now I needed to transform it. He said, I apologized to him. And I made a commitment to him that I would really try to transform my angry behavior. And then he said to me, you see, I was listening. I heard what you had to say. I think it is important. That's what we're looking at. Do I have an intention or desire to transform suffering and pain in my life? If we cannot find a way in our journey to make our wounds sacred, then we will invariably become cynical, critical, negative, and bitter. Look around you. You know it, and I know it to be a truth. We will live in a prison, not created by others, but created by ourselves. Look at some of the current actions in our world. I'll never get out of that prison so long as there is someone else to blame for my situation. I will never be freed from that reality, that blindness. Because for many people, they just don't see it. They've never been helped to see it. Here is a very important and valuable piece of wisdom. We should never try to get rid of our pain until we have learned the lesson it is going to teach us. Remember that. We should never dismiss or try to get rid of our pain or run away from it until we have learned the lesson that it has to teach us. When we hold that pain and choose not to transmit it to others, we are in a very sacred place. And be certain of this, He is there with you in that suffering. It is as if God, in the person of Jesus Christ, is there suffering with me. It's got to be a fundamental belief of our Christian faith. The God that I believe in knows suffering, and He suffers with me. Hanging on the cross, innocent though He was. And I want to say, but I'm innocent. Why should I have to suffer? I'm innocent. Things they are saying, they are not true. I'm innocent. It's a great mystery. Grappling with that reality is so important in our lives, something that we are not accustomed to and maybe we don't even like to do. But take a good look at this. That's what innocent suffering is about. And that is at the core of the mystery that we profess in faith. Innocent though He was, He interiorized the pain and the suffering. What a great example. The more we struggle with that reality in our lives, in our personal experience, the more we come into a deeper faith and a consciousness of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ in the world. If I come week in, week out and profess my faith in Jesus Christ, but never make any movement whatsoever, but I'm at a standstill, then what is my faith about? If I don't see any value or purpose or point in changing behavior, why do I come every week? A lot of people give up doing that, coming. Probably for that very reason. I wasn't willing to change. I didn't desire to change. I wasn't open to it because I wanted to have that control. So the question is, I know you would say, what does that have to do with the gospel, with Bartimaeus, the blind man? Thanks for asking. It has a great deal to do with this parable. I love this parable. It would be so easy for you and I to hear that great parable, that great story of Jesus and His journey. And it would be very easy for us to hear it and say, well, it's about a blind man. I'm not blind. I've got 20/20 vision. Maybe not quite, but I have close to 20/20. I'm not blind, so I don't get anything out of this parable. That would be perilous for me. Because Jesus never failed to use the opportunity of instruction and teaching in all of these parables. So as we look very closely at it, it would be a great detriment if I didn't find any real life in this parable. It would tell a lot about myself. Stevie Wonder, that marvelous artist, and what a great and gifted individual. He was asked by a friend many years ago, with all of this wonderful advancement in technology and particularly in optometry, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could have your sight restored? Stevie Wonder's response was brilliant. He said there are a whole lot of people who have the use of both eyes that are a lot more blind than I am. Now that comes from a deep experience of suffering and understanding. And that's both sides of the coin. You know, the coin is pretty amazing. A lot of people have said to me, I really am able to make the connection, the importance of seeing both sides and not one side of the coin. You will notice one thing about the coin. It's a very small difference between front and back. It's a very small difference between transforming pain and transferring it. Why should somebody, my loved ones, particularly my loved ones, because they are the ones that get it. It's usually family that receive the transference of my pain, co-workers, my small group, faith group. And if I'm really seeking resolution, then that's great to share with them. But if I'm not seeking resolution, then all I'm doing is looking for sympathy and a little pity party. There is no growing up in that reality. It's a very fine line between this side and this side. But it's a very significant journey. And it is the journey of the Christian life. So, the story of Bartimaeus. Here he is sitting on the roadside, begging. That's what people do when they are experiencing some kind of difficulty or handicap in life. They are unable to work, and so they depend on the benevolence of others, and it's not unusual that they sit on the roadside and seek the help or the generosity of others. Here's Bartimaeus, a whole crowd gathering, and Jesus is traveling through. And the dynamics of this story, powerful. You might ask the question in relation to Eucharist. A whole lot of people come to Eucharist. How many people encounter Jesus in that experience? How many people call out to him and say, Master, help me. Have pity on me. But here is Bartimaeus with his little song on the side of the road, begging and enduring the stares and the judgment of all of these people. And what happens? People say, oh, shut up, be quiet, you're annoying me. But he shouts all the louder, Jesus, Master, have pity on me. Where did he get such faith? Who taught him? How did he learn that experience? And what happens? Jesus stops, he hears him. He says, bring him over here. Jesus listens and hears us as well. It's a very important piece. He hears us. And notice what happened next. I think the next detail is extremely valuable and important. What did he do? Threw off his cloak. The cloak that covered him, it was kind of his security blanket. You know the security blanket? Man, that filthy blanket that my niece dragged around, you know, for so long through the goat stuff and out in the yard and everything else, but hung it to it tightly every night when she was growing up. And when her parents washed it, man, was that a furor. Absolute furor. His security blanket. He threw off of his security blanket. It's what covered him from the gaze and the stares of those going by, and he could probably pull it up to keep away or keep at bay the chill. Not just the chill of the air, but the chill of people. What is your security blanket? Are you willing to surrender it and come to him? Or does it involve too much pain and suffering to say, I need to let go of this? And what happens next? Jesus speaks to him. What is it you want me to do for you? Most important question in the gospel. And it's very easy for us to say, you know what I need, why don't you just give it to me? But he's not in the habit of doing that, because he never forces anything on us. Never forces us to do this or that or the other thing. Given us absolute freedom of choice, and he reverences that to the nth degree. So he wants us to enunciate what it is we need. He wants us to know and to define for ourselves and to identify for ourselves, what is it I really want from you? He wants us to speak loudly and clearly to him. He wants us to know and to identify. And Bartimaeus gets it. He says, Master, I want to see. And it's granted him. It's a great parable. It's about transferring, transmitting pain, suffering, or transforming it. That was a transformation. So this week, your homework, I would like to suggest that you consider, what is my blindness? Where is my blindness active and alive in my life, in my relationships? Do I really desire for the Master to take away my blindness? Am I willing to ask him? I'll ask you about it next week, when we talk about the parable and the encounter about the greatest commandment. That's the gospel next week. What is the greatest commandment? So I invite you to be reflective throughout the week. Where is my blindness active in my life?